Right now it is time for Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. Tim, you're there, right?
Yes, I'm here.
And Greg was here for a second, but then he's gone.
He's on his way to a doctor's appointment. Ah. He thought, well, let me try to do this in the car, you know. His technical skills.
Nah, it's not going to work. Not going to work. I thought it was another skip error. Well, what the heck? Well, how was your entering into the new year, huh?
It was good. It was very busy. There's a lot going on, and a lot happening just in the markets as well. I mean, there's some really great stuff that's coming up for auction in the first couple quarters of this coming year. So, interesting things, and we're in a really just kind of bizarre place because it is a new year, and we're still in this, you know, this whole COVID thing, but people still want to buy, so it's interesting.
And people want to sell. I mean,
and people want to sell. Yeah. Well, you know, excuse me, and that's an interesting thing because when this pandemic started, a lot of people held back on some of their good stuff because they thought, well, I don't want to put it out there because it might be, you know, might not sell, might not perform well. And what we're seeing is that things are doing really well and people do want to sell. You're exactly right, Marshall.
You know, I had something up and for some reason it blocked off on me, but here it comes. And I forgot about him. I love him as an actor, Michael Caine. He's going to auction off a whole ton of his memorabilia. And I, you know, he's one of those actors that he plays such a character. He can play a mean character. He can play a very funny character. And I've loved following his career, but he's got a big auction coming up in March where he's got posters, Rolex, also various things and props that he's used all along the line.
Oh, yeah. No, and this is Bonhams is going to be selling his collection, and it's going to take place in March. And of course, his signature glasses are up for auction as well. A lot of personal, and basically what they're saying, it's 6 decades of his career, which that's amazing to have 6 decades of any kind of career, but then in acting and to be an active participant in the field as well. There's a number of things that are going to be sold, and of course, you know, whether it's his posters, furniture, desks, but he also happens to have a Chagall, which would be nice, and then of course his iconic spectacles. I'm sure that the sale will do really well.
Yeah, I guess Chagall, what, 50,000 pounds is what they're saying, the initial estimate?
Yeah, 30 to 50, correct, 30 to 50 pounds.
And it, by the way, pardon me, Sir.
30 to 50,000. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Sir Michael Caine. Sir Michael Caine, not just Michael Caine.
Not just Michael Caine. It's Sir Michael Caine. Exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of, we talk about this. We've been talking about this for decades. We could say that now. Is that whenever it's celebrity memorabilia like this, and when you have such an iconic star selling his private collection, personal collection of items. And I guess it's just a matter of, I don't know, would you want to see, if you were of that stage stature and you had all this kind of stuff, would you want to watch this auction or would you want to wait until you were dead?
the way I look at it is he wants to pass it along before he dies and he wants to see the enjoyment other people get out of it. And he also wants, obviously, to get a little money and stuff like that. So I think it would vary. I think there's a lot of famous people that would want to wait till they were not around. But he just wants to see other people bid on it and get the enjoyment that he had.
Yeah. No, I think for me, I would want to be an active participant and watch what it sells for and really be a part of the process, I guess, instead of letting somebody else do that, because I know the stuff and I'm familiar with it. And I think that it would just be, I have just in my career have watched people who have sold collections that they have amassed over the years. and to the difference between watching that collector when it goes to auction and they are an actively participating in helping in the promotion and answering questions and just being a part of the whole process, as opposed to the children or the executor of the estate, where it's just very it's a whole different thing. It's because they're not as attached and not as a part of that whole process. And I think as a collector, this is what I think is the most important thing, is that yes, you have the thrill of the hunt, you go out there, it's circular. And what it is that you collect it, you trade up, you lose some things, you damage some things, you break some things, whatever it is, but you then add new, and then it's time to close the circle and it's time to pass it on to someone else and let them enjoy it. I would love to see it.
And a personal auction like this is different than an art collector, because an art collector invests for monetary value and they invest to upgrade. People who have expensive cars that put money into them, restore them or buy them, they hold on to them as an investment. Yes, they like automobiles, but it's an investment, right? And they then take that investment, sell it, and invest it in something else. So there's whole different ways of looking at it.
Right. No, and this is also going to have such a diverse number of items that are in it, but it'll also be across all of the different categories, because you'll have the memorabilia side, but then he does have some great timepieces, some great artwork, some just a variety of different things. So those are, I think when it comes to the memorabilia side and then its personal collections, it's more of a cross category of collectors and collections, as opposed to when someone is very focused in one. You really hit the nail on the head there, Marshall, is saying that they put that together. Now, it may have been curated, and it may have been just really beautiful in the way that they put it together, but it was put together with the idea and the hopes that one day it would be sold as a collection and would realize a lot more than what they invested in it.
And we go from that to a story that I found, which I'm amazed. When I was a kid, my father played in casinos in Las Vegas and hotels in Las Vegas. And I saw a lot. They're a vintage casino chip collector auction. And it's amazing because these chips, here right off at the beginning of the story, a $5 casino chip from the Hotel Fremont, okay, which was drilled and notched to mark it obsolete. So it's not worth anything at a casino. But still, it was a $5 chip that bought $3,000.
Right.
$3,000. And this isn't even from a movie or anything. Now, I can understand from the movies Ocean's 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, movie props.
Right.
I can understand those chips, but a drilled chip that is worth nothing, maybe it's just because of the hotel's name on it.
Yeah. Well, there's a combination of that. But just like any area of collecting, you have there's a limited quantity too, because a lot of these chips have either been retired or people take them home as souvenirs. So when you have some of these vintage pieces, this fits what I like is my definition of collectibles: things that were never meant to be collected, when found in an excellent or pristine condition, can demand high prices at auction. And this is a perfect example of that, is that these were never meant to be collected as collectibles, but you do have people that collect them, just like they collect playing cards or dice or anything that goes along with that whole gambling type of memorabilia. And I think that a lot of it, and I would agree that it probably has a lot to do with the casino, because that casino is probably not there, but it's also, we don't use those chips anymore, is that it's all electronic. I don't know if anybody's been to Vegas lately, but they don't have chips.
No.
They do have the sound, but it's all electronic. So it's also it's like collecting vintage baseball cards. You know, I mean, when you think about it, is that, oh, those were just meant to be traded and enjoyed and things like that. Well, now look what those little pieces of cardboard are bringing.
Well, that's amazing. The whole thing. It's a bit of history.
Yeah.
It's a
bit of history. But I think it's also a reflection of the culture at the time period. And I think that that's another thing that collectibles have the ability to do, is that they reflect what's going on in the society at the time that they were introduced. So when you see that, you see what was going on. And when you see these casino chips, you know, that is also reminiscent of this romantic era of the Rat Pack and Vegas and, you know, kind of being a little naughty.
a little naughty back then. Naughty back then was a good thing. It's a good thing most of those stars are dead, because they'd be sued now.
Oh my goodness, they would all have lawsuits. You're exactly right.
Well, once again, another auction that's coming up in London at Sotheby's on March 2nd is an auction for a painting, a Muses collection painting that they're expecting $60 million. $60 million.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's interesting, because watching the art markets a year ago, when we were starting the year in 2021, and we were talking, let's see, we made it through this pandemic and this much, and we've gone this far, and now we're in the, you know, the heart of it with this whole another recurrence, and hopefully that just comes and goes. But what we're seeing is that everybody thought that this was going to crash all of these different markets, and especially the art market. The art market has really taken off. And one of the things, and we've talked about this a lot, is that the way that auction houses have really opened the floodgates with their internet presence to be able to truly make this a global marketplace, whether it's especially in fine art, but whether it's cars or other assets. But in fine art, people have become much more comfortable of looking at the items, maybe arranging a private viewing, and then you don't need to be there for the auction. So it's all online, and it's going to be interesting next week. Next Wednesday, I am actually going to be doing my first auction as auctioneer with Hindman. And it's a whole different platform. And of course, nobody's going to be in the room, and it's all virtual. So it should be a very interesting thing. But with that, the point is that, yeah, they're projecting 60 million, but they might do 90. And that's the other part of it, is that, you know, those estimates are just marketing tools. And I think that when you have a collection that has a name that also has desirability, then that just drives up the competition in the marketplace.
Now, when you're doing a virtual auction, because you're used to doing auctions there, is it going to be hard for you to adjust to a virtual auction and to get into it, or have you been practicing just, you know, getting into it like you would do at a live auction?
Yeah, there's a little bit of both. It's when I was auctioneering for Julian's, there were times that there were only a handful of people in the room. However, there were people that would raise their hand to bid on the different virtual platforms. The way that Hindman has it now is that they have the people that are on those virtual platforms, but they could be all over the country. They could be in Chicago, they could be in Cincinnati, they could be in Denver. So I'm watching a screen and have to watch who's bidding and who's going up. So instead of being in the same room, there's something about being in the same room that I like, that gives me comfort. But this is going to be a little bit different. But the reality is that the mechanics are all the same. It's just a matter of the execution, and how what I am looking for is now changed. It's not looking for the body language in the room. It's now looking at the slight tick or playing to the camera as opposed to the full room, because when you have to look at the camera in order to make sure that you're making eye contact with the bidder, because the bidder is watching you on that camera. So there's a little bit of a different dynamic, but I have some of that that I feel comfortable with having done that at Julian's auctions, but it'll be interesting with this transition. And that'll be next Wednesday, so a week from tomorrow. So I'll be able to talk about that and say, ah, here it is. But what I'm glad that I am getting back into doing the auctions is that it gives you, I just believe that to be a good, whether you're a specialist at an auction house or an appraiser or an active participant in any market, is to attend the auctions or to watch them. And because you can watch them online, you can sign up to Live Auctioneers. There's a number, any of your favorite auction houses, they are all doing the simulcast broadcast where you can watch and get a good idea of what the current market is and what things are selling for. And it really gets your finger on the pulse of what's happening, because after every auction, we just get a good sense. Oh, wow, that was a surprise. Or wow, that underperformed. I wonder if that's going to be a trend. Let's see what happens in the next auction. So you can constantly keep an eye on where things are performing within the marketplace.
All right. Well, it's the start of a new year, and obviously,
yes, it is.
You two aren't going to slow down at all.
No, you know, I did my 3-mile run this morning, and I thought, oh God, I've got to start learning to say no. I just have to learn to say no.
Well, you know what? Since I reached 60, since I reached my late 60s, I've learned to say no and pass it along to other folks, because there's just so much you can do after you do it for so long. And if you take too much stuff on, the other stuff also doesn't come out as good. Yeah.
Yeah, it just suffers. So, so it's, you know, it is what it is. But for right now, yeah, we are busy and we're looking forward to 2022.
Well, give my best to Greg. Hope his doctor's appointment comes out well, and I'll speak to you guys next week.
Great. Sounds good.
Take care, Jim. Bye bye. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. Appraise this. You can find them at tqag.com on the web.